January 8th, 2017. Yes, a new year. And today's show is predictions. Yes, New Year's predictions. And as always, we're going to start not with my predictions. Nope. With the industry predictions. Yes, the industry predictions. And I want you to know that in preparation for today's show, I search Google, I search Medscape, the news feed for your doctors, telling them the latest in clinical developments. And the only 2017 predictions I found, the only ones, were financial. Not a single prediction, not one, not a single prediction about a breakthrough on the horizon that we could expect to see come to fruition in 2017. Not a single prediction about reducing the at least 880,000 killings every year at the hands of the medical industrial complex. Not one source predicted an improvement in the quality of care or the outcomes or the availability of breakthroughs for patients. This is ominous. You would think that the industry would at least toot its own horn, but no. They went straight for the predictions totally unrelated to your well-being. Now, so the question is, well, what did they predict? You know, what were the predictions? So I Googled healthcare predictions. Now, important thing to understand is, what is healthcare? So I thought myself that healthcare was, well, caring people, providing things to improve health. That's what I thought it was. But every now and then, you know, you look at these things and you say, well, you know what? We have got to look at the dictionary. Maybe there's some confusion here, you know? Maybe that's why there's not these predictions I expected about breaking discoveries and breakthroughs in medical care that we can expect for 2017 and an improvement in the safety of medical care. So let's see what the dictionary says. Healthcare is the maintenance and improvement of physical and mental health, especially through the provision of medical services. In other words, there is nothing here about caring. So there you go. That clarifies a lot. Healthcare has nothing to do with people who care. So we have it right here in the definition. It's simply the maintenance, which is the perpetual treatment of, lack of improvement of, and improvement, sometimes the person can get better, of physical and mental health, especially through the provision of medical services. So it's providing medical services, and there is no requirement, no indication, no reference to anyone caring anything about the patient. So there you have it. Our problem was a misunderstanding, a fundamental misunderstanding of healthcare itself. Well, so let's see what the predictions are. And I picked the more generous predictions. This is healthcare technology trends. And this is what they had to say. So I'm going to go over their predictions, and I'm going to have a few predictions of my own. Because their predictions, when you look at the consequences for patients, it's a bit ominous. But let's see. One is interoperability. What the heck is this? Well, if we put all this in English, you will recall that a few years back, there was created something called the electronic health record. These are digital records of whatever happens at your medical visit, as well as a digital record of all the personal private information you might give your doctor under the guise of registration. And so the problem is that many of the different healthcare electronic formats cannot be read universally. It's kind of like having a country, let's call it the United States, where there's 10 languages spoken and there's not one national language that people can communicate in. And so interoperability means that these electronic health records will be in a uniform format that can be read by pretty much standard electronic devices. Okay. And so it says, during the year, we saw increased adoption of vendor-neutral health information records standards. As an alternative to proprietary, that means private for profit, interfaces, that means languages, by leading vendor electronic health record systems. However, they say we will not have full interoperability as seen in other sectors such as financial services. It's just out of reach. So this means that you're going to go to the doctor, you're going to have electronic health records created, but when you get a digital copy of those records and take it to the next facility, they might not be able to read it. And so the prediction is that there'll be continued progress on this front, but don't expect a solution. Next, this one's neat. Healthcare consumerism is on the rise. And it says a digital transformation of healthcare is well underway, driven by the rise in healthcare consumerism. So the rising cost of healthcare, especially the double-digit increases in exchange premiums, along with increases in deductibles. In other words, this means is the person's, the consumer, they're calling the patient a consumer now, the consumer is getting fleeced by higher monthly premiums and higher deductibles. So they're paying much more money on two fronts. So this makes healthcare consumers much more discerning about the cost of care. At the same time, health plans have to improve their patient/member engagement levels. In other words, they have to get you to, they have to keep your attention. They have to hold your attention and occupy you as if you're not busy enough. They've invested in technology enabling the digital consumer experience. In the future, healthcare consumers will look to a variety of providers for their medical needs and will create their own digital ecosystems to control where they access healthcare, who they access it from, and what price they pay. And so what this says then is that the patient is going to have a better digital experience. Again, no improvement whatever in the quality of care, no improvement whatever in diagnostic, no improvement in safety. In 2017, we'll continue to see rising healthcare consumerism and an aggressive push by healthcare enterprises towards digital transformation, driven primarily by a need to improve patient member experience. So they want to improve your experience, but not your health, not your outcome. So there you have it. Healthcare consumerism on the rise. Number three is a big, is I think a very big one. Big data analytics make way for cognitive computing and artificial intelligence. So what's big data, what's cognitive computing, and what's artificial intelligence? Okay, so big data means you measure features of a population, and based on that data, you can make decisions, or these big organizations controlling your healthcare can make decisions to improve their profitability. That's big data. But now they're saying, hey, forget big data. Now they want cognitive computing and artificial intelligence. What does that mean? It means these healthcare organizations have realized that their one of their biggest costs is personnel costs. So rather than go for big data analytics, which is trying to modify the behavior of patients, why don't we just give them an artificial intelligence or a computer instead of a doctor or a nurse or whatever? And that way cut personnel costs and use artificial intelligence. Go straight to the chase here. So what this means then, put this in English, is in 2017, should you decide to engage the healthcare system, you will be working with or possibly interacting with a machine instead of a person. in terms of your diagnosis and treatment. And so this guy, who's a real techie guy, this, by the way, is from Healthcare Technology Trends, and this is a CEO at Demo Consulting Incorporated who wrote this. And just to let you know, this is coming from. So he's saying that big data has fallen off a cliff this year. That means it's worthless. No one wants it. As analytics became embedded in digital solutions and platforms. Significant funding for categories such as wearables and sensors, population health management, and personal health tools, which are classified as consumerization apps. Though in reality, in all of these categories, get this, analytics is integrated into the offerings. In other words, they seek to track, chip, and spy on the person purchasing these things. Powerful enterprise platforms such as IBM's Watson Health made their mark in 2016, especially in applying cognitive computing to large data sets in cancer and through strategic partnership with Medtronic, Siemens, and others. So Medtronic and Siemens basically manufacture electronic devices in this industry. Again, nothing in it for the patients, nothing good. So here they say, in 2017, we're more likely to hear terms such as cognitive computing and artificial intelligence, and less likely to hear the term big data. And the other thing we'll hear more about is the ever-expanding ecosystem of data-collecting devices, such as wearables and sensors. Again, people worry about being chipped. people are literally paying for their own chipping by purchasing these wearable devices and sensors. Okay, what else do they predict? They predict that healthcare startups will make nice with regulators in 2017. So in 2016, there were some pretty breathtaking shutdowns by the FDA, namely Theranos, which is a lab test startup once valued at $9 billion that was basically erased by FDA scrutiny. And so now, not that FDA is good or bad here, but it's FDA scrutiny and, of course, whistleblower revelations. And so this year, they expect that startups are likely to tread very carefully when it comes to regulators, chastened by the experience of Theranos and Zenfits being an insurance company. So if you read between the lines here, it means that they expect healthcare startups to follow more of the existing rules, number one, but number two, to pay more attention to whining, dining the politicians. So these two startups kind of got ahead of themselves and just went to business instead of paying the proper homage to the politicians and agencies. Okay, so this person predicts the rise of non-information officer executives in technology decisions. And so this is his 2016 prediction. He says, not so fast. The CEO will still, that's chief executive officer, will still allow the chief information officer to remain important as before in deciding how to spend technology budgets. That means money. However, in certain informations like digital transformations, chief medical officers are increasingly likely to be in control. So we heard nothing about chief medical officer. Like, okay, now we're going to ask a doctor. Not that that's especially going to add to the safety or accuracy of anything, but including a medical professional in the decision-making process suggests a concern for the final product or output that the patient might receive. So that's interesting that they might give that a little bit of attention. Here is the big one. Information technology, security, and data privacy. In 2016, healthcare, listen up, experienced record levels of data breaches, rising incidents of ransomware. Now, ransomware means that something, well, similar to a virus, goes in the computer and locks it up and makes the whole information system unavailable to, say, the hospital or the medical clinic. And that entity has to pay ransom in order to regain access to its own information system. It's a new kind of virus. And increasing in the targeting of HIPAA, that's the Health Insurance Privacy and Portability Act, business associates, and the certain devices have created vulnerability of the connected health ecosystem to cyber attacks and data breaches. Now, as we mentioned before, your electronic health records are worth literally 10 to 20 times as much as your credit card number. That's interesting. You can imagine what someone can do with a credit card number, right? They can charge, I don't know, hundreds of dollars, maybe even thousands of dollars worth of stuff. But with your private data, they can do better. They can actually impersonate you, become you, open up lines of credit, close out bank accounts, do quite a few things. They're pretty devastating. And so in 2016, there are record levels of this activity going on. So consumer data company Experian, this is already a red flag, right? So Experian, what have they got to do with healthcare? Answer, nothing. Has predicted that healthcare will be a top target for cyber attacks in 2017, and more than 90% of healthcare industry lawyers predict that healthcare is at greater risk of data breaches than other sectors. This means basically that whatever you tell your doctor, you may well have published it on the front page of the newspaper. In other words, it will be available to anybody who wants it, especially the criminals who are willing to pay as little as $35 to get your record. And so their prediction is healthcare will spend more on information technology security in 2017. So more of your healthcare dollar, your insurance dollar, is going to go towards protecting the security of the private information you give to your doctor. And chief information security officers will reign supreme. So this is more power for the information officers. But the thing to understand here is that your data, your healthcare data, is absolutely not secure, number one. And two, it's becoming even less secure in 2017. They expect it to get even less secure. The rise of the cloud. Again, this is part of your insecurity with your healthcare data, is it's being stored in the cloud. Healthcare has been slow to adopt cloud-based systems, partly due to concerns about security. Cloud adoption has been steadily increasing in healthcare, however. Loads are more around backups, archiving, and virtualization. And as the digital transformation of healthcare picks up in 2017, the cloud will become the model for new technology platforms and solutions. And there will be a migration or movement of healthcare information to the cloud. That means your personal information. But they're saying core platforms like electronic health record systems and claim management systems are likely to remain on-premises applications for a while. So they don't think that your electronic health record is going to move to the cloud, but they think that the other management functions will move to the cloud. Now, they think that we all have to give a little nod to the change in administration from Democrat to Republican. So under President-elect Trump, there is likely to be a level of uncertainty for health care. Talk more about that.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, Quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
About 6 years ago, I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. I went from being able to work 14, 16 hours a day with no problem to where I could barely walk a block to the store without having to stop and rest. I went on to the phytonutrients about 6 months ago, and within a couple of months, my medical doctor had cut my prescriptions down in a little bit smaller dosage. The next time I went back a month later, I walked into the doctor's office and he said, "My gosh, what's happened to you? You don't even look like the same person." He looked at my legs and the swelling had gone down. My blood pressure was down. The venous stasis ulcers that I had had on my legs for the last 4 or 5 years because of the poor circulation were all healed, and I'm feeling far better.
Call now to find out how to get your free month supply of Balance of Nature. Call 800-2468-751 or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code TSL.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Give such delight.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, we're looking at the predictions for next year. And so there's this prediction about the new administration and the Affordable Care Act. And so they feel like there's going to be some uncertainty for healthcare. That makes it hard to call any prediction for 2017, especially as it relates to the Affordable Care Act. Now, there's a lot going on with that. So let's go on with the rest of their predictions, and I'll tell you my predictions. Yeah, lots of predictions here. Okay, so the privacy is huge. Next, hospital consolidation will continue in 2017. And that's an important thing to understand, because what's happening now with the Affordable Care Act is reimbursement is becoming extremely, extremely political. And the hospitals have to band together in larger groups to have negotiating power to offset the consolidation in the insurance industry. So the insurance industry is consolidated under the Affordable Care Act to the point where only three insurance companies dominate over 80% of the market. And so it's almost impossible for a hospital to negotiate reimbursement, you know, one little hospital, when it's up against that level of consolidation. So now hospitals are grouping together under basically one umbrella, or trying to, in order to gain more negotiating power. Back in the 80s, there were hospital associations, and they would help the hospitals negotiate. But now that is not enough. And so what, let's see what their excuse is. So saying hospital consolidation will continue. Number of factors such as the increased focus on population health, disputes between payers and providers, and lower reimbursement will cause hospital consolidation to continue next year. However, the idea of merging to fulfill the bigger is better notion is no longer the norm. If hospitals consider integration, they will approach the situation in terms of how much more leverage a merger would provide in dealing with outside forces beyond the hospital or health system's control. In other words, they are not merging to improve the quality of your health care. That is not on their list. They're just trying to get paid here. And Mr. Klasser also notes that the important role private equity funds, that's Wall Street, play in the healthcare services sector. Private equity investments into the healthcare industry will continue as long as the economy does not falter, he says, keeping the number of transactions on par with those that occurred in 2015. So this means basically that your hospital is going to merge, be bought out, be encumbered with debt, and paying interest to bankers. And so, again, more of your healthcare dollars is going to be spent on interest to bankers. Now, what Mr. Klasser fails to point out here is why the hospital consolidation is happening. He didn't mention that there was a corresponding consolidation in the insurance side, the payment side, in the past several years since the Affordable Care Act passed. The Affordable Care Act favored Blue Cross Blue Shield, Cigna, and so really we're evolving towards a one- or two-payer system here. And people don't realize that we don't need the government to pass a one-payer system legislation, because we've almost got it right now. We're almost there at the one-payer system level. And so what's happening then is the hospitals, the other half of the or part of the industry, are consolidating in order to receive or have comparable market strength to negotiate fees. Obviously, the next consolidation is for the insurance companies to simply buy the hospitals, or better yet, just shut them. Yeah, buy the hospitals, shut them down, and continue to collect insurance premiums. That's the end game. I think that will take another 5 years to happen, but we'll look for that to happen. How fiercely the government pursues antitrust cases may change. And so they believe that under Trump, the Federal Trade Commission will get involved less in mergers that might appear monopolistic. But again, for you as the patient, it really doesn't matter or make much of a difference, because nobody's trying to improve the quality of your care anyway. Next, and here is a real ominous one, other industry giants will continue to invest in healthcare initiatives. What does this mean? Well, it means that Mattel will develop health devices for babies and children. This is an example of a non-healthcare related business entering the healthcare space. So non-traditional players in the industry are on the rise, says Mr. Klasser. He says a number of industry outsiders investing in healthcare related pursuits will continue to increase as businesses outside of the sector recognize the potential growth, call it profit, opportunities healthcare related endeavors can provide. So this is their predictions. And this is actually shocking. And we're finding, too, or I'm noticing, in terms of devices and things that are for sale, there are many health-related devices being sold by traditionally non-healthcare firms. So we'll see where that goes. But what's happening then is entertainment companies, toy companies are all jumping on the health bandwagon to buy out healthcare companies, more, even more is precisely to provide products relating to a person's health and really filling a gap in the healthcare market. And what's the gap? The gap is effectiveness. And so look to 2017 for patients, whether they're interested in alternative health or even still seeing licensed doctors or going to licensed hospitals, to take more into their own hands, to start doing more home testing, and to start treating themselves. Why? Because the outcome with the regular medical system is just so atrocious. So I predict, these are my predictions now. So we've heard everyone else's predictions, and not a single prediction having anything to do with caring about the health of patients. Not any information, any predictions having to do with better medical outcomes or safer medical care. So you can expect, these are the guys, you know, these are the guys who are calling the shots. These are the guys who are in control. They're making things happen. If they're not interested in it, it's not going to happen. As we used to say at Wharton, if you don't measure it, you can't improve it. So they are not measuring it. They're not even trying to improve it. So that's what the industry has to say. So what are my predictions? My first prediction is that more people are going to experience healthcare access. And as more people experience healthcare access, there's going to be increased disappointment on the part of patients. And patients are going to take matters into their own hands. They're going to start going to the drugstore and doing their own home testing and drawing their own conclusions. And I predict there'll actually be less participation in the healthcare system. The next thing that I predict is that medical records will be used as a tool of government to enforce the police state, whether it's surveillance of gun owners, whether it's determining if parents are allowing their children to watch the proper amount of propaganda television. But the medical records will be used to literally micromanage your life. And the only way to avoid this, of course, is to not have medical records. How do you do that? Answer, you just don't show up. Don't go to medical doctors. And there's no reason to go because, again, the effectiveness is very poor and the death rate is high. At least 40% of all deaths in the United States are due to medical intervention. The next thing I predict is that many people will actually start avoiding the healthcare system due to privacy concerns. So people who have anything to lose, people who are homeowners, people who have good credit ratings, people who are really concerned about their identity being stolen are actually going to stop seeking medical care of any kind because they don't want their identity stolen. So as more and more people get their identity stolen, and as this starts really going rampant, people are actually going to avoid the healthcare system because of privacy concerns. Next, we're going to see poverty deepen. We're going to see more people living in poverty. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, there was this expression called insurance poor. And that means a person had spent so much money on insurance that they were poor and did not have money for the basics in life, like food or heat for their homes. And I predict that this is what's going to happen in 2017 with Obamacare, is people will literally become insurance poor. People will have their poverty deepen. They'll be unable to meet their daily expenses, such as food or mortgage payments, because of their health insurance obligations. And next, I predict that we'll see an increased use of turpentine as more people turn to the internet for information. And it's really amazing how many people contact me and send me emails saying that they remember that their parents or grandparents used turpentine and always had it around and used it with great success. But because, of course, they went to government schools, they didn't hang around home often enough or long enough to pick up how to use the turpentine or what to do with it. And so they're so happy themselves to get information on turpentine so they could resume this family tradition. So I expect that turpentine use will really catch on, because people will not only read the report and find it so easy to understand, but that combined with their recall of how their parents or grandparents used turpentine will make things move along a lot quicker. The next prediction that I have for 2017 is that doctors, their surveillance of doctors will increase, and that doctors more and more will be obligated to follow the standard of care even to the death. I should say especially to the death. And since doctor surveillance will increase and doctors will follow the standard of care to the letter, I think we can see we will see an increase in iatrogenic deaths or an increase in the 880,000 people killed by medical intervention. So we'll see this number increase dramatically. So for people who do decide to engage the system, their death rate will be much, much higher. And that's because the doctors will be under surveillance. The next thing I predict is that less and less care will be provided by doctors. It will be provided either by machines or by, as they say, allied professionals. That means people who are trained, people who are licensed, or people who are not doctors. And this means that, again, the standard of care will be enforced strictly with even fewer exceptions. When I was a medical doctor, back in the dark ages, this would be 1990-something, doctors would suspend the standard of care for their friends. But if they had a patient they didn't like, they would follow the standard of care to the letter. They would do every single uncomfortable, expensive test. They would just torture the poor person. And, of course, you couldn't accuse them of anything, right, because they were just following the standard of care. But the doctor had the discretion to not put his friends and closer relatives through this torture. He could say, look, you know what, stop right now. This, if you go any further down this medical path, you're just going to be uncomfortable. You're going to die quicker. The therapy's not effective. Just don't go any further. But now doctors are not in a position to make those types of exceptions. Because of electronic health records, because the surveillance of the doctor is now totally complete, every single thing the doctor does is audited, is evaluated, and is known within hours, if not days, of when the decision is made. So for something like what I did way back when in the 90s, which was to give people a choice and to give people options and allow people to not follow the standard of care, that type of doctor would be detected literally within days of when he began to veer off from the standard of care. So we definitely expect to see the noose around the doctor's neck a lot tighter, hence the noose around the patient's neck a lot tighter, and intervention a lot swifter. And so this means then that doctors won't have the opportunity or time period of reflection and thought to come to the conclusion that what they're doing is not working. As soon as they express any level of doubt or lack of certainty, they would basically get bounced. And so for patients, then, this means that the ability to get an honest answer about anything out of your doctor is just about zero. Now, obviously, half of everything your doctor's taught in medical school is false. So, of course, half of everything he tells you will be a lie. That's for sure. But now, with the increased supervision, your doctor won't even be able to tell you what doubts he has about what was taught in medical school. He can't say, well, you know, half of what I was taught was false, and I'm thinking that the piece I was taught about your particular affliction might be false because I haven't seen anyone benefit from therapy yet. And so this turns a doctor into, this is the next prediction, the doctor becomes totally simply a salesperson for the hospital and for the drug companies and a representative for your insurance company. And so this means that your doctor in 2017 will become totally not able to address your needs or be on your side. So we'll see the transition of your doctor from physician to government agent, I believe, will be complete in 2017. So in 2017, your doctor will be totally an agent of the government, will be gathering information from you on behalf of the government, and that information will be transmitted to the government. So the big prediction is, what about the Affordable Care Act? What's the prediction for that? Well, I predict the Affordable Care Act will see a compromise, and health insurance will become optional, and that means that possibly the penalty for not being insured might be actually waived. And so the next president waives the penalty for non-insurance, then I think we will see a decline in people having insurance by their own choice. And I think we will also see a decline in healthcare costs. And that is the only way the healthcare costs will be moderated, is if people have a choice and they can vote with their feet and they can choose not to consume healthcare. Another prediction for 2017, the government just passed the Medical Health Cures Act, C-U-R-E-S, Cures Act, and this allows the FDA to approve more drugs even faster. And so we have an organization already approving a cadre of lethal drugs. And so now what is happening is the FDA is being given the green light to go ahead and approve even more dangerous drugs at a quicker pace. And so I think that this, again, is another thing that indicates we're going to see a lot more deaths in 2017 due to medical care and medical intervention. So I think that those are the big predictions for 2017. So what's a person to do? Well, you got to do it yourself, DIY. I just saw a thing come up in the chat room. Dr. Daniels, you're scaring me. Sometimes I'd rather be sleeping. Okay, so here's the good news. Let's just say you're awake. All right, you're awake. You know how deadly your medical care is. You know how expensive it's going to be. So all you have to do is don't get health insurance. Just, as Nancy Reagan said, just say no. And so don't get health insurance. If you do get health insurance, don't use it. So those are the two things you can do. Don't get health insurance. If you get health insurance, don't use it. Very, very important. Do not get any screening exams. Don't make any appointments. And what you're going to find is you'll have a lot more money and you'll have a lot more time. Now, if you know, you may not have a lot to talk to your friends about. You won't be able to discuss meaningless, inconclusive test results. You won't be able to brag about which expert or specialist you have an appointment with. But what's going to happen is you're going to feel a lot better, and you'll have a lot more money, and you'll live a lot longer. So now, how do you implement this? A lot of people say, oh, Dr. Daniels, you know, that's easy for you to say, but you know all about this alternative healing, and we don't know what to do, and if we knew how to heal ourselves, we sure could. So I thought about that. I listened, and I said, you know what? I got it. And so I'm doing a one-week retreat here in Panama. I know it's a little short notice. We've got three slots available for people who like to come to Panama, January 24th to 31st. And literally, you will be immersed in organic natural healing products, the natural healing diets I recommend. I'll educate you on the use of spices, the use of herbs, the use of food, supplements, different cleansing techniques, how to know which ones to use, how to know when to stop them. And you can have, you'll be all revved up and ready for 2017 and ready to sidestep the really serious killing game that's not only going on, but they're getting ready to step up. And obviously, this is not not something I can do for cheap, but it's definitely worth it because you can avoid anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000 a year just in healthcare premiums alone. If people just had the confidence to avoid health insurance, that would go so that would mean so much to them financially. And if people had the confidence to avoid health insurance premiums, they could avoid them. It's not a big deal. There are employers in the United States who actually penalize people for not carrying health insurance. And I would say if that's the case, if you work at one of those places, you could just look for other employment or become self-employed or with the information you'll learn in Panama during that 1 week, you can start your own business. So you can just email me at jdaniels.daniels@gmail.com. That's jdaniels.daniels@gmail.com. And I'll tell you more about it. Okay, we are ready for questions. I see the chat room is hopping. Oh my gosh, let's see if we can go back at the beginning here. All right, everyone says hello and Happy New Year. Dr. Daniels, I think that in the new year, people will never be cured of anything. You can bet your money on that. Okay, that's really neat. People are actually coming up with their own predictions. Okay, so Dr. Daniels, why are they spending billions of dollars streamlining and making medical data easier to share and access? I think it's because the medical data is the product. This is not about healthcare at all. This is all about tracking you, all about putting you under surveillance, all about invading your privacy totally. And micromanaging you so as to maximize taxes and revenue of all sorts and control your behavior. And so since that's what's really going on, it's definitely worth the billions of dollars being spent. And so Dr. Daniels, why will they do nothing to make it easier to make natural health cures more accessible to everybody? I think there's something wrong with this question. I think the question presupposes that they, whoever they are, have something to do with natural health cures. The most strongest natural health cures are actually your food And that's something that you can actually regain control over. And so what they don't want you to know is how much power you actually have. And so I think it's important to focus more on what you are able to do. As bad as things may appear, the availability of supplements and herbs in the United States is really incredible compared to many other parts of the world. When we come back, we'll do more questions.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Maybe take away my name, take away your hands on me. Never be the same.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, we have a call from Francine in Wisconsin. Hi, Francine.
Hello, Doctor. I was wondering if there's anything that can be done for tremors.
Usually, well, okay, so there's two things that cause tremors. The one thing is real simple and easy to fix is trace mineral deficiencies. And so that's easily fixed with Shilajit, my favorite trace mineral supplement. And you can get that, if you get it on eBay, you have to wait a month, but it's 1/20th the cost, or you can get it on Amazon. So that's one thing.
How do you spell that?
Shilajit, S-H-I-L-A-J-I-T.
Okay.
Yeah. Second thing is poisoning. So you've been the victim, most likely, of nerve gas or nerve chemical poisoning. Where
yeah,
could
that's
that possibly,
very likely.
Yeah. It came from your, if you're a gardener or if you have a gardening service that sprays the garden or cuts the garden or maintains the garden where you live, they commonly use physostigmine, which is a nerve poison, and that paralyzes the insects and makes them tremor, twitch, salivate, and die. And so what happens, since you're a bigger organism than an insect, you just get a tremor. And it generally happens over a period of years, actually.
Yes, but, it has been.
Yeah, so you would need to, I don't know how much control you have, but if you have lawn or grass around you, you need to intervene and have them stop using the insect poisons. If you live in, especially if you live in a warm, actually everywhere, I don't care if you live in New York or Florida, they use this stuff. And so if you live in a place that's very well kept in terms of the gardening and the lawn care, then that is most likely your culprit. The other thing you can do most immediately is switch all of your foods to 100% organic. The nerve agent is used against pesticides, so it would be in anything and everything that has pesticides.
Okay. Yeah, we live in kind of a rural setting, and they farm all the way around our house, and it's very close. And I know when they spray, sometimes the wind blows it into the yard and
right.
even kills my, like, flowers and shrubs and things. And, of course, we've lived here for 22 years, so it's been a buildup, I guess.
Right. So, obviously, relocating is one way. Another way is, I guess you could talk to your neighbors who are the farmers. Maybe you could point out they might make more money not using the chemicals.
I don't think so.
But that's the cause of the tremor, so
right.
I'm not sure how you would handle that with your situation.
Yeah.
But it's a nerve poisoning problem.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Tom in Utah. Hi, Tom.
Yes, Dr. Daniels. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Oh, yeah, John encouraged me to make contact with each host, especially you. I opened up a poisoning issue, and I want you to check on it.
Oh, wait, commercial. We'll catch you on the other side. Hold on.
I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back